हरे सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So yesterday then we went through the disciples of Ayodhadhamma, right? We had Uddalaka, who graduated due to his perfection in following the order of the Guru, that there was no other way to bridge the breach in the water than just to lie down in it himself. Then you had Upamanyu, who then, would only offer everything to his guru. Right? And then the Veda, that he would just, his whole life was just serving the guru, right? Just dedicated to serving. So each one of them a different way then attained perfection. So now, Veda, then, because his training was so severe, he used a much more gentle approach with his disciples. And so now we will hear about them. He also had three disciples. And Veda, having received permission from his preceptor and leaving the latter's residence after the completion of his studies, entered the domestic mode of life. And while living in his own house, he got three disciples. And he never told them to perform any work or to obey implicitly his own behests. For having himself experienced much woe while abiding in the family of his preceptor, he liked not to treat them with severity. After a certain time, Janamejaya and Poshya, both of the order of Kshatriyas, arriving at the residence appointed by the Brahmana, Veda, as their spiritual guide, Upadhyaya, and one day, while about to depart upon some business related to a sacrifice, he employed one of his disciples, Uttanka, to take charge of his household. Uttanka, said he, whatsoever should have to be done in my house, let it be done by thee without neglect. And having given these orders to Uttanka, he went on his journey. Right? So Veda was the priest for Janamejaya and for Poshya, right? Both of these kings. So then Uttanka was asked to take care of the house, so whatever would be the duties of Veda in the house, to see that it got done, that he should also, take that same seriousness. So Uttanka, always mindful of the injunction of his preceptor, took up his abode in the latter's house. And while Uttanka was residing there, the females of his preceptor's house, having assembled, addressed him and said, O Uttanka, thy mistress is in that season when connubial connection might be fruitful. The preceptor is absent. Then stand thou in his place and do the needful. And Uttanka, thus addressed, said unto those women, it is not proper for me to do this at the bidding of women. I have not been enjoined by my preceptor to do aught that is improper. After a while, his preceptor returned from his journey. And his preceptor, having learnt all that had happened, became well pleased, and addressing Utanka, said, "Utanka, my child, what favor shall I bestow on thee? I have been served by thee duly, therefore hath our friendship for each other increased. I therefore grant thee leave to depart. Go thou and let thy wishes be accomplished." Utanka, thus addressed, replied, saying, "Let me do something that you wish, for it hath been said, he who bestoweth instruction contrary to usage, and he who receive it contrary to usage, one of the two dieth, and enmity spring up between the two. I, therefore, who have received thy leave to depart, am desirous of bringing thee some honorarium due to a preceptor." His master, upon hearing this, replied, "Utanka, my child, wait a while." Some time after, Utanka again addressed his preceptor, saying, "Commandeth me to bring that for honorarium which you desire." And his preceptor then said, "My dear Utanka, thou hast often told me of your desire to bring something by way of acknowledgement for the instruction thou hast received. Go then in and ask thy mistress what thou art to bring." You know, mistress means the wife of the, of the guru, right? So then, here is that. Looks like some new student is in the tree over there. So then, Utanka is then making the point that one who improperly gives knowledge to someone who does not deserve it, and one who takes knowledge or tries to gain knowledge in an improper way, either one will die or enmity will spring up between the two. Does that make sense? So you don't instruct someone who is undeserving, and you don't try to get knowledge without offering respect, or here offering dakshin, these kind of things. Does that make sense? So therefore, Utanka, even though he was given leave, the guru didn't desire anything, but he said, "But it's still my duty to offer." So then he's trying to do. So now he said, "I don't want anything. So you go in and ask my wife if she wants something." And bring thou which she directs. And thus directed by his preceptor, Utanka addressed his preceptress, saying, "Madam, I have obtained my master's leave to go home, and I am desirous of bringing something agreeable to thee as honorarium for the instruction I have received, in order that I may not depart as his debtor. Therefore, please command me what I am to bring." Right? Means, in other words, dakshina is not given before finishing one's education, because then the guru, then you don't want it to be that he's the debtor. Right? He's obliged to give you instruction. No, he gives you instruction what is important, what is proper for you. Right? And at the same time as you've received instruction, if you don't give something back, then you're the debtor. Right? So the whole idea is that, you know, there should be this proper arrangement. Otherwise, then generally one has to take birth again. Right? Because then a debt has to be paid. Right? That's why the Vaishnavas are very careful not to really, other than what is there for service or other thing, not to accept service. Does that make sense? Yeah? "Therefore, please command me what I am to bring." Thus addressed, his preceptress replied, "Go unto King Pausya, and beg of him the pair of earrings worn by his queen, and bring them hither." Right? Pausya means Veda is the guru of Pausya, so then there's some connection there. Like that. "The fourth day hence is the sacred day when I wish to appear before the Brahmanas, who may dine at my house, decked with these earrings. Then accomplish this, O Utanka. If thou shouldest succeed, good fortune shall attend thee. If not, what good canst thou expect?" Right? Because she's going to feed these Brahmins, and these earrings are such that whoever wears them does not feel any hunger. So that means she can go on serving prasad all day with no problem. Right? So she wants those earrings. Uttanka, thus commanded, took his departure. And as he was passing along the road, he saw a bull of extraordinary size and a man of uncommon stature mounted thereon. And that man addressed Uttanka and said, "Eat thou of the dung of this bull." Uttanka, however, was unwilling to comply. The man said again, "O Uttanka, eat of it without scrutiny. Thy master ate of it before." And Uttanka gratified his assent and ate of the dung and drank of the urine of that bull, and rose respectfully and, washing his hands and mouth, went to where King Pausha was. On arriving at the place, Uttanka saw Pausha seated on his throne. And approaching him, Uttanka saluted the monarch by pronouncing blessings and said, "I am come as a petitioner to thee." Right? In other words, what is the work is immediately said. Right? You don't beat around the bush. It means you've said, "I've come to petition you." Okay, so now he knows who it is. Then you can give so much background and history, because otherwise you're saying this and that, and so you don't know where it's going, so it creates anxiety or restlessness or impatience. So immediately you said, "I've come to petition you," and it means there's something I wish to ask. What it is, that's another thing. Then you can give. Yes?
What's petition mean?
Petition means you've come for something to ask. Okay? And King Pausha, having returned Uttanka's salutations, said, "Sir, what shall I do for thee?" Right? He said, "Sir," even though here's a kid and he's the king. Right? Because the Brahmin in stature is the senior to the Kshatriya. And Uttanka said, "I came to beg of thee a pair of earrings as a present to my preceptor. It behooveth thee to give me the earrings worn by the queen." Right? So he's also then saying there, "I've come for a pair of earrings, and it's the earrings of the queen." Right? So then we know, I came to ask you something. What I've come to ask is earrings, and those earrings are the ones that the queen wears. Right? You know, rather than just saying, "I'd like to, if you could give me the queen's earrings." You know, then it's kind of like, why? But if you say, "I've come to ask you something, I've come here to get earrings," you know, it's very clear, then it carries a different flavor. Does that make something? King Pausha replied, "Go, Uttanka, into the female apartments where the queen is and demand them of her." And Uttanka went into the women's apartments, but as he could not discover the queen, he again addressed the queen, king, saying, "It is not proper that I should be treated by thee with deceit. Thy queen is not in the private apartments, for I could not find her." The king thus addressed considered for a while and replied, "Recollect, sir, with attention, whether thou art not in a state of defilement in consequence of contact with the impurities of a repast." Right? Repast means of eating. Or is there any impurity that could be there from your eating, that you didn't clean yourself properly afterwards? Right? "My queen is a chaste wife and cannot be seen by anyone who is impure owing to contact with the leavings of a repast, nor does she herself appear in sight of anyone who is defiled." Right? So anyone who is impure, she can't be seen. She'll be standing there, but you can't see her. Right? Uttanka, thus informed, reflected for a while and then said, "Yes, it must be so. Having been in a hurry, I perform my ablutions after meal in a standing posture." Right? So this is where now you're going to see where. It means, in other words, up to now we started to see instruction. But here is the instruction that when you say achman, it can't be standing. You have to be sitting or kneeling. Right? So here, He did his ablutions, but he did them standing, and so therefore it didn't actually purify. Does that make sense? Right. Just like Nala, when he was washing after eating, when he washed his feet, he only, you know, how you get the ends of your toes wet, you know, and say that's washing your feet. So his heel did not get washed, so Kali entered through his heel because it was dirty. then for 12 years resided in his body, and he lost his kingdom, and he looked like a dwarf and was very dark and hunchback and all that. Therefore, it's always recommended that after eating, you wash your feet, including the heels. Right? Yeah? Okay. Then King Pausha then said, here is a transgression. Purification is not properly effected by one in a standing posture, not by one while he is going along, in other words, while one is walking. Right? So standing or walking, you can't purify yourself. Akshmanastiti said, you know, kneeling or sitting. And Uttanka, having agreed to this, sat down with his face towards the east and washed his face, hands and feet thoroughly. He then, without a noise, sipped thrice of water free from scum and froth. Right? So here also is an indication that Achman water has to be pure. Right? And not warm means not hot water. Right? It's cool water. Right? And just sufficient to reach his stomach, and sipped and wiped his face twice means you put how much water in the palm is necessary that when you sip it and swallow it, it'll get down to here. Right? It won't get any farther. Generally, when you just, if you just sip, it'll get in your mouth or maybe to here. Right? But it's said that a Brahmin, when he sips water, it should go to the solar plexus. Right? The Kshatriya, it'll go to the throat. The Vaishya, it'll get in the mouth. And the Shudra, it'll touch his lips. Right? Because Shudra doesn't know what's going on, so you just say sip, and you'll do this and that, and you know, you see it. So at least it touched his lips, he's purified. Okay? Right? Wiped his face twice. That means when you're doing the thing, this, that one. Or, these. He then touched with water the apertures of his organs. Okay, so that'll be the part, this one. Right? Like that. And having done all this, he once more entered the apartments of the queen. Right? So that's an achman. Right? And this time he saw the queen. And as the queen perceived him, she saluted him respectfully and said, "Welcome, sir. Command me what I have to do." And Uttanka, right, otherwise, how is he going to just walk into the apartments unless he's been sent? So that means there's something to do, right? Brahmas are coming to the apartment of the women to teach them classes or give instruction. Something is there. Otherwise, no one comes into their apartments. And Uttanka said unto her, "It behooveth thee to give me those earrings of thine. I beg them as a present for my preceptor." Right? So you're dealing with Kshatriyas, right? Remember when we were talking about in begging, the Brahmin will see what? Bhavati Bhiksham Dehi, right? Means, oh, respected lady, Bhiksham, begging, Dehi, you please give, right? The Kshatriyas will say, Bhiksham, how do you say? Bhiksham Dehi Bhavati, right? So then, their point is, this is what is being done. It's Bhiksham, we're giving, and the respectful aspect. The Vaishya says, Dehi Bhavati Bhiksham, right? Means give, right? Because that's Vaishya's thing, is gain, right? So they'll say that first. Does that make sense? So then, here you're dealing with Kshatriyas, so what you want done is first thing said, right? Then after. So he says, the earrings that you have to give me. Why? Because of this, right? The Brahmin, you'd say, that you give, for my preceptor, I am asking for the earrings. You understand? So the one, it's the Shastric element comes first, and then comes what is to be done. With the Kshatriya, it's what is to be done, then. Does that make sense? So this is just showing, because they're practical, they're pragmatic. Vaishyas are pragmatic also, but the pragmatism is not the work that's done, but the result that's gotten. Does that make sense? Yes? No? And the queen, having been highly pleased with Uttanka's conduct, and considering that Uttanka, as an object of charity, could not be passed over, took off her earrings and gave them to him. And she said, "These earrings are very much sought after by Takshaka, the king of the serpents. Therefore, thou shalt carry them with great care, right? So by his behavior, by his mood, everything, then she was very pleased. So even though this was a very short interaction, you know, one to be seen by, to be able to see her means he has to be pure. Then his mood, how he dealt, was very correct. And so the attitude, tone of voice, everything would have been right. So she was very pleased. And then she could see, here's a very special Brahmin. By giving charity to such a person, then I will be greatly benefited. But now Takshaka, right, the snakes, now we're seeing the connection here, right? Is that this is the whole point, Takshaka and these earrings. So he's after these same earrings, so you always have to watch him, otherwise he's going to try to take it. And Utanka, being told this, said to the queen, "Lady, be under no apprehension. Takshaka, chief of the serpents, is not able to overtake me." And having said this, and taking leave of the queen, he went back into the presence of Pausha, and said, "Pausha, I am gratified." Then Pausha said unto, instead of saying, "I got the earrings," saying, I am satisfied. So that means he came for the earrings. So, you know, if I say I got the earrings, may mean I got the earrings, but, you know, things still aren't right. So I was satisfied means I'm happy, and because the earrings were attained. Does that make sense? Then Pausha said to Utanka, a fit object of charity can only be had at long intervals. Thou art a qualified guest, therefore do I desire to perform a shraddha. Tarry thou a while." And Utanka replied, "Yes, I will tarry," and begged that the clean provisions that are ready may be soon brought in. Right? So it means charity, those who are objects of charity are not very often. Those who are really qualified, pure Brahmins, that's who charity is to be given to. Right? So he says, you know, and this we're talking when? Right? So this is, you know, a long time ago. And so even Pausha is saying such a person is rare. So Utanka was a very, very pure Brahmin. Right? So the Shraddha can only be performed with a very pure Brahmin, right? You're doing worship of the demigods, others, the Brahmin may be less qualified, as long as he knows how to chant the mantras, do the ritual. But in the Shraddha rites, the purity is utmost importance. So unless they're really, really pure, then it does not give the proper result. Right? So he says that clean provisions, mean what is pure, should be brought in immediately. So that shows two things. They have to be clean, and they have to be fresh. Right? So he's already stipulated this before he comes in, because that's the rule. Whatever means, as long as means you can't serve things that are shraddha that are cold. They have to be warm, right? And they have to be clean. The person serving has to be clean. The place has to be clean. Everything's clean, right? It's not just the meal. The whole rest of the day, the person that has taken the shraddha has to do everything properly, right? He can't do anything that would be considered improper for that whole day. Right? The other one, as soon as you finish the yagya, you've gotten your dakshin, then your obligation is finished. But the shraddha, you know, the pitris follow you the whole day. Right? And only, you know, the next day, then they'll go. Right? Because you've eaten the food, so you have to digest it, so they hang around while you digest. Like that. The other one, it was just that you were fed, then the ritual's done. But this one, it's you have to digest it. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. And the king, having signified his assent, entertained Utanka duly. And Utanka, seeing that the food placed before him had hair in it, and also that it was cold, thought it unclean. And he said unto Pausha, "Thou givest me food that is unclean, therefore shalt thou lose thy sight." Right? It means you can't see what's going on. And Pausha, in answer, said, "And because thou dost impute uncleanliness to food that is clean, therefore shalt thou be without issue." Means you say food which is, means his point is the king, you brought me something impure, can't you see that? So then what's the use of your eyes? You should be blind. In other words, you'll see always these curses. They're not just any old curse. The curse is exactly pertaining to the offense committed. Right? And his one is that the shraddha rite, by taking the food, then that is what the duty of a son does for his father. So because you won't do that for me as the son to my father, you won't have a son that will do the shraddha for you. Right? Does that make sense? And Uttanka thereupon rejoined, "It behooveth thee not, after having offered me unclean food, to curse me in return. Satisfy thyself by ocular proof." Right? Ocular means, you know, with the eyes. You know, so, you know, in other words, see for yourself. Right? Satisfy thyself by ocular proof. Okay. You know, check it out, Daddy. You know? And Pausha, seeing the food alleged to be unclean, satisfied himself of its uncleanliness. In other words, he saw the hair also. And Pausha, having having ascertained that the food was truly unclean, being cold and mixed with hair, prepared as it was by a woman with unbraided hair, shame, began to pacify the Rishi Uttanka, saying, "Sir, the food placed before thee is cold, and doth contain hair, having been prepared without sufficient care. Therefore I pray thee pardon me." That's why ladies always keep their hair tied when they cook. "Therefore I pray thee pardon me, let me not become blind." And Uttanka answered, "What I say must come to pass. Having become blind, thou mayest, however, recover the sight before long. Grant that thy curse also doth not take effect on me." And Pausha said unto him, "I am unable to revoke my curse, for my wrath even now hath not been appeased. But thou knowest not this, for a Brahman's heart is soft as new churned butter, even though his words appear a sharp-edged razor. With the Kshatriya." In other words, the Brahman, his words may be sharp, but his heart is soft. But the Kshatriyas, their heart is hard, even though the words may be very soft. So he's saying that even though he cursed, and even though his curse was improper, because he should have checked first the food. Oh, you say it's unclean? Okay, let's see. No, it's not clean. Therefore you can curse. But he immediately just became angry and cursed. So then checking it, then he can see. Okay. Now he's about the Kshatriya. "His words are soft as new churned butter, but his heart is like a sharp-edged tool. Such being the case, I am unable, because of the hardness of my heart, to neutralize my curse. Then go thou thy own way." To this Uttanka made answer, "I showed thee the uncleanliness of the food offered to me, and I was even now pacified by thee. Besides, saidest thou at first that because I imputed uncleanliness to food that was clean, I should be without issue. But the food truly unclean, thy curse cannot affect me. Of this I am sure." And Uttanka, having said this, departed with the earrings. So his point is you said, because you say food that is pure is impure, therefore I curse you. But he said, the food was impure, therefore your curse won't have effect anyway, so I don't have to worry. But, you know, as a normal thing, it's an etiquette, you curse, you know, you should remove it. But even you don't, it won't have any effect anyway, because it wasn't true. Right? So you see here, you just see the fact and work on that. So he didn't become mental. Well, maybe what if it does take effect, or this or that. He didn't do any of that, right? It can't take effect, because this was the grounds on which it was discussed. Does that make sense? On the road, Uttanka perceived coming towards him a naked, idle beggar, sometimes coming in view and sometimes disappearing, right? Because generally the naked beggars, I don't know if you've ever seen them in India, but they're the ones that you really kind of stay away from, right? You just ignore them. Other beggars, you might notice them, but naked beggars, you just kind of like, you know, they're just a little too freaky, so you just stay out of their way, right? And Uttanka put the earrings on the ground and went for water. In the meantime, the beggar came quickly to the spot, and taking up the earrings, ran away. And Uttanka, having completed his ablutions in water and purified himself, and having also reverently bowed down to the gods and his spiritual masters, pursued the thief with the utmost speed. And having with great difficulty overtaken him, he seized him by force. But at that instant the person seized, quitting the form of a beggar and assuming his real form, namely that of Takshaka. Here, V-I-Z, the cultured book. Speedily entered a large hole open in the ground, and having got in, Takshaka proceeded to his own abode, the region of the serpents. Right? So he caught him. So he must be powerful, right? So Takshaka is a celestial snake, so I'm sure they can move quite quickly. But he was able to catch him, right? And this, after finishing his ablutions, offering his respects to his, the gods and his spiritual master and that, then he got up and ran after it, right? Now Utanka recollecting the words of the queen, pursued the serpent and began to dig open the hole with a stick, but was unable to make much progress. Right? And Indra, beholding his distress, sent his thunderbolt, Vajra, to his assistance. Then the thunderbolt, entering that stick, enlarged that hole. Right? So he's digging with just a stick, but then the thunderbolt is there. So you can imagine, thunderbolt on the end of your stick. So then he dug through very quickly. And Utanka began to enter the hole after the thunderbolt. And having entered it, he beheld the region of the serpents, infinite in extent, filled with hundreds of palaces and elegant mansions with turrets and domes and gateways. Turrets are at the corners and stuff, or places where the wall comes and you have it comes out like a half round, or if it's on a quarter, it'll be a three-quarter round, like that. Because you have the wall, but if you're on the wall, you can't defend the wall, right? You can defend in front of the wall, but once they're at the wall, then you can't do anything. So the turrets come out like this, so then you can shoot along the wall, right? Plus you can get crossfire, if somebody's shooting this way and that way, and then it's much more difficult to defend yourself. Right? So turrets are very important. And you see that it's very opulent there, so even though it's snakes, it's not that they're without taste, right? Abounding with wonderful places for various games and entertainments, right? So having various places to sit and this and that is also opulence, right? Like that. Like you see in New York, there's no place to sit anywhere outside the house. You have street, which is, cement. Then immediately there's sidewalk, which is cement, which goes right up to the building, which then goes straight up. So the only place is the steps. Right? So that's called the stoop. Right? So therefore, they sit around on the stoop. Right? Of course, according to Shastra, sitting on stairs is not considered great, but, because other people want to come and you're sitting there, so. And Utanka then glorified the serpents by the following shlokas. Ye serpents, subjects of King Airavata. This is a different, this is snake Airavata, not elephant Airavata, right? Splendid in battle and showering weapons in the field like lightning charged clouds driven by the winds. Handsome of various forms and decked with many colored earrings. Ye children of Airavata, ye shine like the sun in the firmament. On the northern banks of the Ganges are many habitations of serpents. There I constantly adore the great serpents, who, except Airavata, would desire to move in the burning rays of the sun. When Dhritarashtra, Airavata's brother, goes out, 28,008 serpents follow him as his attendants. Ye who move near him, and ye who stay at a distance from him, I adore all of you that have Airavata for your elder brother. I adore thee also to attain the earrings, O Takshaka, who formerly dwelt in Kurukshetra, and the forest of Kandava. Takshaka and Ashwasena, ye are constant companions who dwell in Kurukshetra, on the banks of the Ikshumati. I also adore the illustrious Sutasena, the younger brother of Takshaka, who resided at the holy place called Mahadumna, with a view to obtaining the chiefship of the serpents. The Brahmana Rishi Utanka, having saluted the chief serpents in this matter, obtained not, however, the earrings. And he thereupon became very thoughtful, right? Because he's a Brahmin, he's coming, so they should give it back. You know? He therefore became very thoughtful. And when he saw that he obtained not the earrings, even though he had adored the serpents, he then looked about him, and even though he about him, and beheld two women at a loom weaving a piece of cloth with a fine shuttle. Shuttle is the thing that goes back and forth. And in the loom were black and white threads. And he likewise saw a wheel with 12 spokes turned by 6 boys. And he also saw a man with a handsome horse. And he began to address them the following mantras. This wheel, whose circumference is marked by 24 divisions, representing as many lunar changes, means, in other words, the 15 days of the waning in the moon and 15 days of the waxing, right? The Gaurapaksha and the Krishnapaksha, right? You have 12 months, there's 12 spokes, and those in between the spokes you have, you know, two divisions, right? So then each month will have two divisions, so 24 pakshas in a year, 12 months in a year, right? Does that make sense? Yeah? Is furnished with 300 spokes, right? In other words, the days. It is set in continual motion by 6 boys, the seasons. These damsels, representing universal nature, are weaving without intermission a cloth with threads black and white, and thereby ushering into existence the manifold worlds and the beings that inhabit them, right? In other words, day and night. Thou wielder of the thunder, the protector of the universe, the slayer of Ritra and Namuchi, thou illustrious one who wearest the black cloth and displayest truth and untruth in the universe. Oh, Indra wears black cloth, so I guess that's why it sometimes becomes fashionable. Thou who ownest for thy carrier the horse, which was received from the depths of the ocean, that's Utrashrava, and which is but another form of Agni, the god of fire, I bow to thee, thou supreme lord, thou lord of the three worlds, O Purandara. Right here, supreme is in small letters. Right, supreme meaning is very powerful, or he's supreme amongst the demigods, not supreme meaning ultimate supreme. Then the man with the horse said unto Utanka, I am gratified by this thy adoration. What good shall I do to thee? Right? He has to be a rishi, otherwise how could he understand all this? Some guy is standing there with a horse, and you understand it's Indra with Utrashrava, right? So that means he, you know, has some deeper understanding. And Utanka replied, even let the serpents be brought under my control. Then the man rejoined, blow into this horse. And Utanka blew into the horse, right? Because the horse is Agni. And when you want the fire to come up, then you blow into the fire, right? So then, does that make sense? So the horse is Agni. So blowing on Agni, then it comes up. And from the horse thus blown into, there issued from every aperture of his body flames of fire with smoke by which the regions of the Nagas was about to be consumed. And Takshaka, surprised beyond measure and terrified by the heat of the fire, hastily came out of his abode taking the earrings with him and said unto Utanka, pray, sir, take back the earrings. And Utanka took them back. But Utanka, having recovered his earrings, thought, oh, this is that sacred day for my preceptress, right? In other words, this is the fourth day. Because he had to go there to the king. He had to spend the time with the king. Then he comes out. Then Takshaka steals the earrings. Then he has to dig down to the... Right? That means he technically... The snakes live below Bhumandala. So that meant he drug all the way through Bhumandala. I'm sure it was quite quick, but still, you know. The fourth day, up to now it's taken 3 days. Oh, this is that sacred day of my preceptress. I am at a distance. How can I, therefore, show my regard for her? And when Utanka was anxious about this, the man addressed him and said, ride this horse, Utanka, and he will in a moment carry thee to thy master's. to thy master's abode. And Utanka, having signified his assent, mounted the horse and presently reached his preceptor's house. Presently means now, right? So he mounted the horse and just now was there. You know, so basically, that's, it's not bad. You just get on the horse and you're already there, right? You don't have to really do any riding. Right? And his preceptress that morning, after having bathed, was dressing her hair, sitting, thinking of uttering a curse on Utanka if he should not return within time. Right? So and as she's dressing, you know, doing the hair, doing this, and I better be here before it's time for the earrings, right? You know, so like that. Okay. But in the meantime, Utanka entered his preceptor's abode and paid his respects to his preceptress and presented her the earrings. Utanka said, "She, thou hast arrived at the proper time at the proper place. Welcome, my child. Thou art innocent, and therefore I do not curse thee. Good fortune is even before thee. Let thy wishes be crowned with success." Right? Remember this point. Right? This point is generic. Then Utanka waited upon his preceptor, and his preceptor said, "Thou art welcome. What hath occasioned thy long absence?" And Utanka replied to his preceptor, "Sir, in the execution of this my business obstruction, Sir, in the execution of this my business, obstruction was offered by Takshaka, the king of serpents." Right? Such nice language. He's offered by him, you know, rather than. Yeah, I was trying to do the thing in Takshaka, you know, that guy, he was, you know, making trouble for me, you know, not like that. "Therefore I had to go to the region of the Nagas. There I saw two damsels sitting at a loom with a fabric with black and white threads. Pray, what is that? There likewise I beheld a wheel with 12 spokes, ceaselessly turned by 6 boys. What too doth that import? Who is also that man I saw, and that what the horse of extraordinary size likewise beheld by me? And when I was on the road, I also saw a bull with a man mounted thereon, by whom I was endearingly accosted thus." Right? Endearingly accosted, right? Accosted mean you were caught. Accosted. So, accosted means, right, you're caught, you know, and something is demanded of you or something. So, means accosted means something's demanded, and decosted means that it's you're not demanded, or how would, I'm not sure. Or is it that the decost is a cost, or I don't know. We'll move on. We won't have to discuss this anymore. And accosted thus, "Utanka, eat of the dung of this bull, which was also eaten by thy master." So I ate of the dung of that bull according to his words. "Who also is he? Therefore, enlightened by thee, I desire to hear all about them." Or does that mean that in the accostation, then one has to eat dung of the bull? But that's, now I think we're getting there. And his preceptor thus addressed said unto him, "The two damsels thou hast seen are Datta and Vidhata. The black and white threads denote night and day. The wheel of 12 spokes turned by the 6 boys signify the year comprising 6 seasons." Right, the boys are the seasons. Right, because time is important. Because everything, action, everything you do, the most important thing is what you do. Right. Does that make sense? And of course, the consciousness in which it's done. But the mechanics of doing something means time, right? All action is time. Therefore, one must know what time is, because that's what you're working with, right? So here we're getting the 15 days of the moon, then the month, then the 2 months together is a season and a year, and we've gotten day and night. Okay? So day, night, then the next one up from that is the waxing and waning of the moon, the pakshas, then the month, then the 2 months is the season, and then he's done the year. But between that, you also have Uttarayana, Dakshinayana, you get that at other places. Then you have the times of the demigods, then it gets up to Lord Brahma, right? So here they're doing this part of the time. In another part, you get other parts. So again and again, it's repeated that you learn what is time. Yes?
Earlier, Uttanka was glorifying who they were. Why did he ask his
question? Because this is what he had understood from it. So then he glorified accordingly. But still, you want to confirm what you know or learned with the spiritual master and make sure you have it right. So whatever you gain from elsewhere, then is taken to the spiritual master and then asked of him, is this correct? Yeah? The man is Parjanya, the deity of rain. That was the one with the horse. And the horse is Agni, the god of fire. The bull thou hast seen on the road is Airavata, the king of elephants. In other words, Indra's elephant. The man mounted thereupon was Indra. So he saw Indra twice, one with Agni and one with Airavata. And the dung of the bull which was eaten by thee was Amrita. Right? That's what the demigods, you know. The pot. It was certainly for this last that thou hast not met with death in the region of the Nagas. And Indra, who is my friend, having been mercifully inclined, showed thee favor. It is for this that thou returnest safe with the earrings about thee. Then, O thou amiable one, I give thee leave to depart. Thou shalt attain good fortune. Right? So, by taking this Amrita, then he couldn't be killed by the Nagas, right? Otherwise, then they would have made so much trouble for him. But they couldn't because of this blessing. And then Indra came again because he's his friend of his guru to help him get to the Nagas and to get back, right? Because the point is, the Brahmachari wants to do his duty, so that's the thing. He has that determination, he has that focus, he tries. Then he leaves it up to the Lord on whether it happens or not. So here we see he was helped by Indra because of his determination. And a little water on that. And we see like the sparrow. She was trying to empty the water of the ocean because it had taken her eggs, and Garuda came and helped. Right, so this is a general principle. You do your best, and then you leave it up to the Lord what will happen. And Uttanka, having obtained his master's leave, moved by anger and resolved to avenge himself on Takshaka, proceeded towards Hastinapur. Right? Now, one may say, well, before he was so gentle and all this and that, why now he's angry? Because Takshaka didn't say he was sorry. He just gave back the earrings. Right? He just came out, handed him the earrings, so that was correct. But he didn't say we're sorry and this and that and so many things, like the king did. The king did. He came and he saw his fault. He said he was sorry for it, you know. Does that make sense? So, Takshaka, moved by anger, then proceeded towards Hastinapur. That excellent Brahmana soon reached Hastinapura, and Uttanka then waited upon King Janamejaya, who had some time before returned victorious from Takshashila. And Uttanka saw the victorious monarch surrounded on all sides by his ministers, and he pronounced benedictions on him in a proper form. And Uttanka addressed the monarch at the proper moment in speech of correct accent and melodious sounds, saying, O thou, the best of monarchs, how is it that thou spendest thy time like a child when there is another matter that urgently demandeth thy attention? So he's here, even though he's going to address him, he says, as a child, right? So he's the kid, right? He's just graduated from Gurukul, right? And here's the monarch who's just gone out and conquered another kingdom, and he's being called a child, right? And he's getting away with it. But even though that is there, you see at the right time, the right moment, with the right mantra said in the right way, he is respecting the king, Right? Does that make sense? There's never anything where it's all one way. I'm the senior, so therefore I'm respected. Everything goes that way, and that's all it is. No, it goes both ways. Right? You, as in that position, deserve this kind of dealing, but someone else in their position deserves that dealing. He's a king. He has to be respected as such. It doesn't matter who you are. But after having done your duties towards him, he has to reciprocate, which in this case, rather than giving something to a beggar or working out a legal problem, you know, for one of his citizens, here is then he is being addressed by this Brahmin as a kid, even though he's just surrounded by ministers and he's just conquered, you know, he's a great emperor, right? Does that make sense? Like that. So one must do one's duties because of your position, it does not negate whatever is the obligation of dealing with the other person. Does that make sense? You know, you may be the prime minister of the country, it doesn't mean that you're not nice to your mother. Does that make sense? That relationship remains. But then in the other thing, then the other. Does that make sense? Sauti said, right, now we've gone back to it means we're going there, and then it goes back to Sauti. Right? Sometimes you see it'll go back farther in these stories. That just brings it back into the other thing. Because if it continues, you forget the overall picture of the Mahabharata. Now it brings it back. Now you know Suta Goswami speaking again and us, him saying these things. So that reminds you of the sages at Naimisharanya and all these different things. Does that make sense? So this is one of the techniques of writing, right? This is one of the, what do you call it? There's a thing, is that a word for the writing techniques? You know? It's different, like tricks that you can use or methods you can use? No. So then, Sauti said, the monarch Janamejaya thus addressed, saluting that excellent Brahmana, replied unto him, in cherishing these my subjects, I do discharge the duties of my noble tribe. Say, what is that business to be done by me, and which hath brought thee hither? Right? So now he's pointed out, you know, that this is that. So he does these duties out of protection for his citizens. Right? So he's pointing out that he's not at fault here, but if there's something more that can be done, because you are also here and you are a citizen, so therefore, you know, I'm off, you know, conquering the other kingdoms, so they won't bother my citizens. And so now also, then you are also here, so I will take care of your work. But he didn't, you know, in other words, he didn't take anything. Even though they're so powerful in that, he didn't take offense to being called a child. Does that make sense? But he's pointing out, I'm just protecting my citizens, so if I can protect you also, please tell me what I can do. The foremost of Brahmins and distinguished beyond all for good deeds, thus addressed by the excellent monarch of large heart, replied unto him, O king, the business is thy own that demandeth thy attention. Therefore, do it, please, O thou king of kings. Thy father was deprived of life by Takshaka. Therefore, do thou avenge thy father's death on that vile serpent. The time hath come, I think, for the act of vengeance obtained by the fates. Go then, avenge the death of thy magnanimous father, who, being bitten without cause by that vile serpent, was reduced to five elements, even like a tree stricken by thunder. The wicked Takshaka, vilest of the serpent race, intoxicated with power, committed an unnecessary act when he bit the king, that godlike father, the protector of the race of the royal saints. Wicked in his deeds, he even caused Kasyapa, the prince of physicians, to run back when he was coming for the relief of thy father. It behooveth thee to burn the wicked wretch in the blazing fire of a snake sacrifice. O king, give instant orders for the sacrifice. It is thus thou canst avenge the death of thy father. And a very great favor shall have also been shown to me. For by that malignant wretch, O virtuous prince, My business also was, on one occasion, obstructed while proceeding on account of my preceptor. Sauti continued, the monarch, having heard these words, was enraged with Takshaka. By the speech of Utanka was inflamed the prince, even as the sacrificial fire with clarified butter. Moved by grief also in the presence of Utanka, the prince asked his ministers the particulars of his father's journey to the regions of the blessed. And when he heard all about the circumstances of his father's death from the lips of Utanka, he was overcome with pain and sorrow. And thus endeth the section called Paushya of the Adi Parva of the blessed Mahabharata. Right, so then here is setting up for this whole, means because they ask, how is this spoken? You know, so then that means the snake sacrifice then had to have been caused. So now here we have that because of Taksha's behavior, then Utanka was upset, so he went to the king and inspired in the king the desire to perform the snake sacrifice that would get rid of Takshaka and all the bad snakes. Right? So now we've seen this part of it. So now we'll see other other parts of it. So there'll be so many parts, and that'll all be put together that finally then you'll have the snake sacrifice itself. Yes. Is this when the dog's curse comes? No, that we'll see later. You know, just when you least expect it, then you know some misfortune will come, like that. So this is not misfortune now, because now he's performing his duty as a king, and you know he's avenging the death of his father. Because otherwise, he would just know his father died. He may not know the details. But now he's understood that Takshaka has improperly bit him. Right? There was no need. Because, see, it'll come up. This is a very important point, because Takshaka, if there was a curse, he would be bit by Takshaka. Right? Isn't it? So therefore, Takshaka biting him, Takshaka can't be held responsible. In one sense. Right? So the king can't be angry with him and punish him because of that. But here's the point he made, that he turned back Kasyapa. Right? Because his business was to bite him. Once he's bitten him, his job's over. So he bit him, reduced him to ashes, fine, that's his job. Okay? But Kasyapa was coming because he's got mantras and stuff that will bring him back to life. So what does he care if he's brought back to life after he's bit him? All he has to do is bite him. That's his job. What does he care after that? But that he turned back Kasyapa, that's then where his where he's responsible now. And so therefore he can be punished. Right? Does that make sense? Because this will come up. And to know this, then there'll be a whole story also then told to know exactly, you know, what happened. Right? So then he can confirm that this was it. Otherwise, Utanka said it, but that's not enough. Just because someone said it, it has to be confirmed. Because if it can't be confirmed, then it may be a misunderstanding. Right? Because people's perceptions sometimes are different than what it actually is. Does that make sense?
Couldn't Kashyapa do something to Takshaka?
That's another thing. That will come up later. It means, but the point was is that it. This is how it worked out. Right? This is how it worked out. Okay. So, that, any other questions on this? Something? Yes.
I had a question. In the beginning, but there was some story with the ladies and the. This Veda, is that
what it is? Data and Vidata.
There was a, in the house, when his guru went away, and then something which I couldn't understand, actually, what happened there.
Uh-huh, okay. Yeah, no, after. Mm-hmm. So, end here. Means, how do you say?
Monday.
Yeah, Monday. Today is? Friday. Okay. Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare